Our scripture this morning is Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does this prophet say this, about himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, during my seminary days, I was given the opportunity to be a student guide for potential students as they made a visit to campus. I was in the break room one day long ago, when as I was a seminary student, when I saw something posted on a bulletin board that had advertised a training session for new student ambassadors, as they called it. A student ambassador was the seminary's way of pairing current students with a potential one, so they got an idea of what it was like to attend the school. Rumor had it, if you were a student ambassador, you got a free lunch because you got to take the potential student out to eat and you swiped the seminary's credit card. I signed up for the training. And you can imagine my excitement that when I got a phone call asking me to show a potential student around. I wanted to make a good impression for the seminary, and so I traded my usual short sleeves for a dressier one and planned a nice tour of the campus. We visited the library, we attended part of a class, we toured the residence halls and the main community building. This was when St. Paul School of Theology was located in the middle of the city, and they had a campus there. And then we got to take the potential student to a local restaurant, sure enough, on the seminary's dime. Over lunch, I answered the questions they had. I offered some perspectives. I shared with them what I thought St. Paul School of Theology was like in my experience. And when it was over, we shook hands. I wished them well. They went on their way. And I wondered maybe, you know, the rest of the semester if they were going to pick St. Paul. Well, fall term rolled around, and I ultimately discovered that the person I showed around did not attend the seminary, and I was not asked to be a student ambassador ever again. Despite my short and unsuccessful stint at being a student ambassador at the seminary, there were some other times where I had some mentoring success. And whatever your job, you know, maybe you've been asked to be a guide or a mentor to someone. Maybe it was being a coworker, or to an employee that was starting a job or training, or maybe it was teaching a teenager how to drive a car. God bless you. And some of you may have been asked in the past maybe to be a mentor for confirmation, things like that. Well, and then on this Father's Day, of course, we're thinking of those who have been fathers to us or biological fathers or father figures that really have been a real mentor to us, that have shaped us and made us who we are. No matter where you've served or how you have served as a mentor or who has been a mentor to us, each of us are called to share the love of Christ to everyone that we meet in this world. And in our scripture today, we're reminded just how powerful it can be when we listen to the Holy Spirit and when we go out, and I mean that pun, when we go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. Well, in our scripture lesson today from the 8th chapter of Acts, this is when a man named Philip heard the voice of God within. And that voice said, he heard this voice coming from the gut that said, "Get up and go south from Jerusalem to Gaza." The Bible tells us that this was a wilderness road. This was in a desert. And Philip was being asked to go a ways deep into Samaria. So this was not only a desert physically, this was a desert really theologically. It was an area that was known for being pagan. It was wayward from the Jewish faith. But without even blinking, Philip, he got up and he went, you know, no questions asked. I think this was a man who was really in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so as Philip began his journey deep into Samaria, it wasn't long before he met this Ethiopian eunuch. We'll say more about that. There was an Ethiopian eunuch who was a high-ranking official for the Queen of Ethiopia. Now, obviously, this person was well-educated. They could read. They believed or they had some sort of an interest in God because we're told that they were reading the book of Isaiah and had made this long journey to worship in Jerusalem. This was a long, sort of arduous and dangerous journey, very devoted. The eunuch had worked their way up into the ranks to become the head of the queen's treasury, and they were wealthy enough to ride in a chariot. This was a person with an elite social status, a very wealthy person with means, high up in royalty. And yet, despite their elite status, this eunuch would have been an outcast for several reasons. First, they were a eunuch. Now, sometimes this was a mere title given to people in a royal court, but mostly it could also mean, and well, I speak over the children this morning, that gender was uncertain due to either a defect or some sort of, you know, like ritual removal. They were castrated. We just don't fully understand. Because the eunuch was this way, the Bible prevented him in Leviticus from entering the temple to worship. He would not have had a family or children. This person did not fit the mold of a standard family. And because of who he was and because of who he was not, this eunuch would have been rejected in most aspects of daily life, except he found a niche in these royal responsibilities. And in fact, if you look in ancient Rome, eunuchs were often had a place in the royal court because it was just believed that they didn't have a lot of relationship distractions. And so they were very devoted in royal courts, but they were just really shunned in various ways. And another reason why this eunuch would have been shunned or an outcast was because he was from Ethiopia in Africa. And so with a darker skin, this person would have stood out very, very clearly. They would have seen him as very different once he got to Jerusalem. So because of his ethnicity and because of his ambiguous gender identity, this person was really a double outcast. And so it's very clear, very early on, to people who would have heard this story originally in the book of Acts, it's clear that something is very different about him. He's very much an outsider, not only from an exotic faraway land, but also not fitting any particular mold in terms of gender. As we may say in the Midwest, he ain't from these parts. Philip, though, in tune with the Holy Spirit, heard the voice of God prompting him to go over to this man. And as he approached the eunuch's chariot, Philip heard the eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah. Now, some people may think that the book of Isaiah gave the eunuch hope because Isaiah talks about, at parts of Isaiah, talks about blessing eunuchs who stay loyal to God. Isaiah also talks about justice for the oppressed and the outsider, and then so this probably would have given him hope in this situation. And so Philip ran. Philip ran to the eunuch's chariot, and he asked him, "Do you understand this?" And the eunuch replied, "How can I unless I have someone guide me?" He needed a mentor. And so Philip got up into the chariot beside the eunuch, and he noticed that the scripture he was reading was actually from Isaiah 53, about a suffering servant who was unjustly tortured and slaughtered like a sheep. Who does that sound like? Like Jesus. Christians have understood the passage that this eunuch was reading to be about Jesus and his suffering for our sin on the cross, but yet the eunuch didn't know this quite yet. And he knew something was missing both in his life and was really missing in his understanding of Scripture. And so Philip began witnessing to him about Jesus. But whatever was said, the Ethiopian was convicted. And so as they were traveling down this desert road, there was water in the desert, another miracle. Devout Jews in the first century who would have heard this scripture would have remembered the significance of water in the desert. In the book of Isaiah again, there's a mention of streams in the wasteland. And in the book of Psalms, streams in the desert. This was no coincidence. And so the eunuch said, "Look, there's water. Is anything preventing me from being baptized?" Philip couldn't think of a thing. And so the next thing you know, Philip was with the Ethiopian in this random stream of water in the desert baptizing him. And we have to see the symbolism here. This was like in the desert of this Ethiopian's life. He found a stream of water, like, you know, streams of the water of life, as it says in Scripture. This is a metaphor. And this Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Because Philip was so in tune with the Holy Spirit's prompting, someone who did not know about Jesus knew of his love now. Because Philip was willing to take the time to set aside to guide someone, that other Jews would have rejected, but he told him that, you know, that he shared the love of Christ so that the Ethiopian found a joy that he hadn't felt before. I mean, what's so powerful to me about this passage is how the love of Jesus changed someone who was an outsider before and allowed them to be an insider because they found, in many ways, because they found belonging in Christ. And how Philip was a religious insider. He shared his faith with someone who was really on the outside of the faith and whose life was changed because of it. Well, this is not the only time in the book of Acts that God's love moved outwardly. We're in the season of Pentecost, and I know Kyle talked about this last week, about how Pentecost is a celebration of the Holy Spirit that came upon God's people in Acts chapter 2, and the people who had gathered were able to speak in all these different languages so that everyone in the world could understand the language of God's love. Pentecost, this season here, the season of red, when we celebrate, you know, Holy Spirit, and the red reminds us of the fire of God's Holy Spirit, and how like a small spark can move into a great big fire pretty quick. So that's the same with God's love and the power of God's Holy Spirit among each one of us. The story of Acts is like a sequel to the Gospels. And it's how God's Holy Spirit came upon each person here and there, and it spread like fire. In the beginning of Acts, Jesus told his disciples, "You'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll be my witnesses in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." You know, this is where that eunuch was from, or where they were going through was Samaria. Throughout the first chapters of the book of Acts, the gospel is shared by disciples out there in Samaria, and thousands of people who did not know Jesus did so now. But Acts is not the only place in the Bible showing the great lengths that God goes to those who don't know him yet. God loves us, each one of us. No matter our situation or our status, no matter rich or poor, insider or outsider, male and female. What I love about the Ethiopian is that, well, there are a few places in Scripture, the Ethiopian eunuch and Lydia, the dealer of purple cloths, where someone who is seems to have everything but is missing something is shared the love of Christ. And as our scripture today shows, that the people that we know and love that do not fit a certain mold this Pride Month, this season when we're reading scriptures that really speak to persons and really speak to persons of the LGBTQIA community, like our scripture shows today, people that are that don't fit a certain mold in any way, our world, you know, our world often judges people from the outside in. Whether it be skin color or clothing or religious belief or sexual orientation or gender identity, our scripture today specifically shows us a God who loves us from the inside out. You see, each of us are more like the Ethiopian eunuch than we might at first imagine, because there was a time when we did not know the love of Jesus, either as a child or as an adult, but someone took the time to invest in us year after year. Many of us can remember our Sunday school teachers who tirelessly taught us year after year the stories of Jesus. On Father's Day, I always remember the time when I was sitting in a truck with Dad. It was at a T-ball game, and we all sheltered, and there was a storm that blew in, and I've always been afraid of storms. Now I sort of love them, but as a kid, I was so afraid of them. I was terrified. We were sitting in that truck, and that truck was wobbling around, and I was just so afraid. And just after the storm blew over, a rainbow came across, and Dad told me the rainbow and told the story of Noah and how it is a sign and a reminder of God's great love for us. And I will always remember that story, and I'm sure that you have some of your own. Of teachers, of fathers, of mothers, of loved ones who told the stories of Jesus year after year, and we're here because of them. Like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, and some of us have felt like an outcast because we were new to town, because we found ourselves different than someone else. We've known the joy of being welcomed into the fold. This is how it is with God's love. He loves us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us. And because of God's great love for us, God the Father, we're all one body of believers. And we're called, like Philip, to share his love to those that sometimes don't even know they even need it. Like Philip, when our lives have been changed on the inside, our faith is revealed on the outside through our works. And when we take what we've witnessed and shared here in this wonderful, loving community of faith, and when we take it outdoors into our daily walk, there is no limit to where God will take us and the lives that God will change through us if we keep remaining responsive to the Spirit's leading. I just want to commend you in this church for all that is done throughout the week. This last week, we talked about Kyle and some of our youth being at mission camp, and they served. I can't wait for Kyle to tell that story about, you know, what they did and where they were at the community garden. They sorted clothes at a community center, and those kids just tirelessly, well, we were tired, just relentlessly served Christ in the community. And I see so many of us that are out in the community just sharing God's love and showing the joy of a relationship with Christ and sharing his love out in the world. I just celebrate you doing what Philip did for the Ethiopian eunuch. Well, this seems to be a seminary memory day, because another time when I was in seminary, one of my favorite places to eat was just a few blocks down from campus. This was in the middle of the city, like Truman and Van Brunt area. It was a developing area, and people of all different walks of life were there. This little restaurant was a small white building with bars on the windows, the sort of a place that you wouldn't be spending much time. The food was great at Porsche's, and if you look online, it's got some amazing reviews. The problem with the place is the seating area is so small, and so during a busy lunch hour, there's often so many people in the place, it's hard to find a place to sit. I was warned ahead of time that if you ate inside, you're probably going to have to make a new friend or two. At Porsche's during the lunch rush, it was okay. In fact, it was sort of a culture there. It was encouraged that if you were by yourself, you were probably supposed to ask someone if you could sit there with them. And if you are at a table by yourself, don't be alarmed if somebody comes along and sits there with you. It took me some getting used to. And there were several times where I sat with somebody I wouldn't have normally sat with in my life. And I had some great conversations. But the food was great, and it sure made for some interesting lunches. You see all kinds of people at Porsche's. Business people dressed up, men who look like they changed oil for a living, black and white people, rich and poor, clean, scruffy, gay and straight, all sitting together eating wonderful food at Porsche's. I remember sitting there, the deep-thinking seminarian that I was after my failed expedition at being a mentor, of thinking how this must be a glimpse of what the kingdom of God looks like. Oh, this lunch was not on the seminary's dime, I'll tell you that. God, who sent Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, has called us to share with one another this love that he's shown us. And that those meals at Porsche's really sort of reminded me of what the kingdom of God must really look like. And I think that we all see glimpses of the kingdom of God when we experience these things, when we're in communion with one another, when we feast together, when we're out Saturday night in the midst of our community, everybody having a blast, and the community sees us as a church just loving one another and in celebration. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the ways that we reach out to those who are in need and just the things that we're doing. And everyone who was at Pride last week, too, thank you. What a witness. I hear stories about, you know, what people said and did and what they're looking for in a church. And I'm just, again, this is glimpses of the kingdom of God. Philip shows us when he reached out to the Ethiopian eunuch. He was not in a hurry. He wasn't afraid. He just shared the love of Christ. And we see that in the midst of our own community. We celebrate a God the Father, who sent his son, Jesus, a Savior to love the whole world, so that whomever believes in him, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And that's a hope and a peace that changes our lives today. When people come together as one, when we move outwardly and take the gospel into the world, just by nature of what we are doing day by day, in our jobs, in our interactions, in our recreation, in our play, in our love of all those around us, whether it be in a crowded restaurant in the middle of the city, or when we care for the migrant and refugee and when they are cared for, when someone learns about Jesus and they change from the inside out, when people are not excluded anymore because of their race or gender or anything else, when we are a part of God's reconciling work, we see a glimpse of the kingdom. And God is glorified. And we, like the Ethiopian eunuch, all of us go on our way rejoicing. Let's pray. Loving God, we go on our way today rejoicing, because you have come into our lives and made us whole. And you've given us so many opportunities to reach out and share your love. God, we thank you for this church and your spirit that's here, for the ways that we are able to go out and to share love that comes from within. Lord, help us to do that as a church. Help us to grow closer to you and to one another, that the kingdom of God may truly come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.